covers the Islanders, joins us now. Alan, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. An interesting season for the Islanders. The East is really tight. They're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. They'd have to go on a little bit of a run. John Tavares, their best player, hasn't been their best player on a lot of nights, and the coach ultimately paid for it. Doug Waite's the interim head coach now. Gerard Gallant's name, we saw some rumblings made. He's talked to them. Do you think they hire a coach before the end of the season? Do you think Gallant's maybe their man?
I don't think so. I think Doug Waite, who's been there as Jack Capuano's trusted assistant since he retired in 2011, is the man for these 40 games. He's certainly earned the chance. I mean, he was a quality guy, top NHL career, every pedigree you can think of that's good. And he's a good person. And the players will listen to him because they know he walks the walk. Stanley Cup winner, captain with the Oilers, of course, captain with the Islanders. He's a good person to at least give it a try. The team is underperforming. Whether that's all on Jack Capuano remains to be seen. I think the sense I have is this just isn't quite his team. He nurtured a lot of players along the way from AHL Bridgeport to the Islanders, guys like Franz Nielsen, Kyle Poso, Andrew McDonald, Casey Zizekas. It's a long list. And this year with some of those guys leaving, Nielsen, Poso, Matt Martin leaving, mysteriously altogether by free agency, the team just wasn't quite the same, and I sense that they just had the wrong dynamic from the beginning, and they haven't been terrible, but they're just not winning enough, and that division is brutal. They'll have to win sort of 5 out of every 6 games to have a chance. Of course, it's not over because they have many games in hand on a lot of teams, so they have to play about 700 hockey to have a chance, but certainly, why not? And Doug Waite deserves the opportunity to at least see what he can do as a full-time coach for half a season.
Alan, I'm with you completely on Doug Waite, both as a person, given his time here in Edmonton, and that he deserves the chance. My question is this. It didn't work for Capuano. Is Doug Waite, in terms of style, that much of a change-up from Capuano? You know what I mean? Bring in, is he a different kind of guy, a better communicator, etc., who can turn what's a group that's going to stay together largely around in this last half?
That's the sort of $64,000 question in terms of, sure, you just continue the same system, same players. Will it be better? The only thing I could think of is just a different voice sometimes works, at least temporarily. But in theory, the way they've been playing this year, you would have said, okay, let's start all over again. But that's such a difficult endeavor mid-season, GM, coach, coaching staff, to just sort of sweep everybody out, sweep new in mid-season, almost impossible. The bigger question is really what happens to Gard Snow. Basically, one playoff series win to show for all of that. The drafts have been okay, but not great. In retrospect, that he's made some questionable moves. No one understands why he would bring back P.A. Parento, let him leave, waive him. The free agency mess from last summer. And, of course, the 3 goalies this year that they carried, also bizarre. So those things collectively make you wonder what's in store overall. But I think Doug Waite, for at least initially, there'll be a boost just because different voice. He'll force these guys to be more accountable, at least in the near term. And they'll listen to him because he's been in the room with them for 5 years and change already.
Alan Kreider from the New York Times joins us discussing the New York Islanders. They're coaching their overall team. You mentioned the 3 goalie situation. We saw it in Edmonton once for a short time, and it did not have much success at all. That whole scenario, obviously, with Halak, maybe they were expecting more from him, especially probably after how he looked at the World Cup of Hockey. That didn't materialize. And who do you think is their best goalie moving forward for this organization?
Well, Thomas Greiss certainly carried the show last year, got them to the playoffs, won the playoff round, earned the number one spot, no doubt. Whether he can play the 65 games and do well remains to be seen, but he certainly hasn't been their problem this year. I think he's definitely a number one, 1A goalie. He's earned it. Again, he's liked in the room. Funny guy, tells jokes, seems a little more lighthearted than Halak would be on most nights, at least for the media. He was always very quiet and dour, and maybe that's just his personality, but Bryce always telling jokes and smiling win or lose, almost to the point that he was very relaxed, it seemed. So not a bad move. I mean, that may be Garchnow's best move in terms of goaltending over his entire tenure, because the Islanders had close to 20 goalies in the crease in his 11 years, and that's strange, too, considering he's a former goalie. He's had a hard time figuring out who should be his goalie. So going forward, I would lock up Thomas Bryce contract-wise, make sure he's secure. They have J.F. Berube, who's been steady when he's played. They have some younger goalies in the system, but the Halak situation is strange and complete waste of money now. He's going to be in Bridgeport for reasons unknown. That's just another boondoggle. It's almost reminiscent of what they had to do with Rick DiPietro and send him down, buy out his contract afterward, just to kind of get the contract and the bad karma out of the room. But that's a strange way to treat your theoretically number one goaltender.
Alan, you touched on Garchnow, and I think you're right there. If it's interim tag for Doug Weight, is it your sense that Snow is in a little bit of trouble, it's wait and see, or a lot of trouble? How would you characterize it? Because this is his team. He built this team. He's had lots of time, and it's languishing near the bottom of the standing. So if he loses his job, the problem for a guy like Wade is you always get a new guy who comes in and he wants to hire his guys.
Right, right. And that creates this sort of whirlwind of what will happen. But clearly, if they don't make the playoffs, coming off the 200-point seasons, coming off the win list year, coming off all that they have accomplished over these last 4 or 5 years, it's hard to justify keeping going with this whole mantra unless the new owners, John Ledecky and Scott Malcolm, just say, okay, now we're going to give Doug Weight the reins. I'd be shocked if they keep Doug Weight as an assistant to a new coach, fire him outright and bring in a new coach with Garchnow. All of it doesn't seem to fit. The only thing that would fit if they fail from this point forward is a clean sweep. And that, of course, is the big gamble. Who is it? Who will be the new coach? Who will be the new GM? Who will be all the assistants? Who is it? Is that person a newer coach, a younger coach, or a veteran like Claude Julien if he's available? Do they coax Kent Hitchcock to stay on somehow? Any number. Gerard Gallant certainly is out there, and he was an Islander assistant. He knows at least this area. I think he'd be something of a breath of fresh air in terms of just personality. But these are big questions, and it's not an easy thing to change the entire hierarchy of any franchise in any sport just like that. But that all would have to wait till the summer. And then, of course, what do you do heading into the draft? Do you do that before the draft? Do you do that way after the draft, and what's the point, because you've had yet another year of the old regime? So it's tough. It's a tough one, and they have 40 games to sort of see where the chips fall. Then they may be justified, at least in the fan base's view, of doing a more drastic change if the need arises.
And the interesting thing is, outside of Dennis Seidenberg and Thomas Greiss, who you just mentioned is probably their number one, they have nobody who's a UFA at the end of this season, so you're looking for trade bait. There's not an obvious name there. There might be some guys they'd want to get rid of, but they have contracts past this year that always makes it harder to trade, especially with the expansion draft. So they might not even be able to shed a lot of players at that point anyway.
That falls to, again, either it's mismanaging the cap or not being accurate enough in your assessment of talent. I mean, someone like Ryan Strome, who's number 5 overall, 2011, has one good year and then regresses to the point where he's sent to Bridgeport. He's a no-show on many nights, looks confused. Brock Nelson, nice player, 20 goals, but again, quiet too often. They just have too many guys who are sort of the same kind of type of player. They're not putting up the numbers that justify their draft spots, and they're not developing, and that falls somewhere in there. And at some point, there has to be accountability for basically a lot of first-round picks that have not materialized since John Tavares. And that seems to fall on Garchnow and the talent evaluators, because first-round picks should be NHL players, at least a high percentage of them.
Alan, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sure, anytime. Thank you.